Well, I wanted to remind you, if you're a guest with us tonight, maybe the first time or first time in a long time, that there's a Connect card right in front of you in that pew back. If you didn't care sometime to fill out the information there, and then at the end of the service out in the lobby, there's a counter that just says guest services above it, and there'll be somebody there that would be waiting, and we've got a gift for you just for being our guest. We want to certainly thank you for that. And in case you were in one of the services this morning that they weren't, we are so glad and grateful that God has brought Brother Danny and Miss Jennifer Jones and their family our way, and they joined the church this morning, and so very, very glad about that. You might have been the other service today, but we're certainly thankful for them, and glad God has brought them our way. Well, I want to preach for a little while in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to look at this passage, and down at verse number 1, as you find your place there. I'm thinking about Kyle's dad did a masterful job preaching through this scripture not long ago, about a month ago, but so much so that I almost convinced myself to preach something else, but I just thought about, just the Lord wouldn't let me seem to get away from this thought, and I'm trusting it's a blessing, because I think tonight of some of the happiest people that I know, the people that have the most shining on their face are those that are too busy, have a lot of trouble. They have a lot of issues going on, yet they have the greatest spirit. You'd think it'd be the other way. The easier our life is, the less trouble you have, the less sickness, the less difficulties, then you'd think you'd be the happiest people, the ones that are the most pleasant to be around. As I've reminded you different times, my mamaw used to say that everybody brings joy into a room, some by coming and some by leaving. And so I want to be one of the ones that come and bring joy to the room. But some people, they do not bring that joy. And it's not because their life is so bad. As you look at it, it's very, very good. And so I think about this. One of the sweetest Christians I've ever had the privilege of knowing was Brother John Christner. He was a deacon at the church in Iowa that we served at years ago. And he had lost one of his arms in a machinery accident decades before I ever knew him. But just the sweet spirit about him, just a pleasant attitude about whatever was coming our way. He said, well, the Lord will help us and we'll just go on. He was always glad to help and be a blessing in whatever is going on. But I'm burdened because it seems to be that we get a lot of our joy, or we think that our joy is based on our circumstances, what's happening around us. And I want to read about this passage of scripture that we looked at not long ago in the reference to giving, and they certainly were doing that. But I also want you to look at it in reference of them giving of themselves. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, meaning we're affirming, we're bringing this to your attention, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So God's using Paul to write to these people, saying, we're writing about this church. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. What a powerful verse, how that in great trials of affliction, we got that handled so well with Brother Snyder, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power, and I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. We'll stop reading right there, and I just want to preach for a little while about this abundant joy in trials. Abundant joy in trials, as it's talked about there in verse number 2, they had that abundance of their joy, and they certainly were having the great trial of affliction, and they were having all these going on simultaneously. I was thinking about this, that people are not happy because things are going well, because if that'd be true, then we could determine whether somebody's going to be in a good mood based on how their life was going. But you and I know that people have oftentimes everything going for them. Their house is beautiful, both their cars are nice and all the stuff that they have, and then they come out and say, boy, that coffee at Starbucks was just terrible. Seems like they had enough money to pay. Kyle, how much money do you pay for a cup of coffee at Starbucks? $5. We could rename it $5. So you go in there and you've got the money to buy that coffee and say, oh, it's just a little bit bitter. Now, it's all bitter to me. I don't care for coffee, but it's just a little bit bitter, or it's this, or it's this. And it would seem that all of the advantages that we have and all of the extras that we have and all of the blessings that we get to enjoy and all of the comforts and the ease that we get to live our lives in, you would think that nothing would get us down. You would think that we'd be able to face anything that comes to us this week, but let's look at last week as an example. Did anything get you down last week? Don't answer all at once, because I know we'd be here way too long if we started doing that. And the truth of the matter is, we get upset about the least of things. But we're looking at some people here in this scripture that they had abundance of joy along with that abundance of trial. And I hope that we can pick some things out right from the scriptures that will be a blessing to us. I'm told that thing about men and people, and one fellow said like this, a man spends much of his life trying to be good looking. Then after he gets past a certain age, they said, boy, you looking good. But they add the end, for your age. And then Clyde Box, this guy that used to preach, he's in heaven now, he said the only other stage to go in is after he's good looking and then he's looking good, the only last one, the next one is, doesn't he look natural? So you don't necessarily want to get to that one. But sometimes, even when people do have a difficulty in their life, they still have a blessed joy of the Lord in their heart. I want you to see, first of all, the grace of God was bestowed. In verse number one, of chapter 8, it says, we do wit to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. The writer here is determining and just putting it down that the reason these people had that joy in verse number 2 is because the grace of God was bestowed upon them, and it talked about in verse number 1. If you are in this room tonight and you do know the Lord as your Savior, I was blessed so to grow up in a home that I don't remember the first time I ever heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did at one point here for the first time, but it was so long ago and I was so young, I can't remember hearing about Him for the first time, but I've heard about Him thousands and thousands and thousands of times afterwards. But I'm thinking about the grace of God that was bestowed on my life. And I think about this, if you know Christ as your Savior and you have your sins forgiven, your home is in heaven, and you have the promise of eternity with the Lord, then my friend, you have the grace of God bestowed on your life as well. God has done a great work in your heart. God has done a great work in your life. Your sins are taken care of. You don't have to worry about those any longer. You, my friend, if you're in that category, you have the grace of God bestowed, just like this church of Macedonia, the people there did. Do you remember that the Apostle Paul, before he was Paul, he was involved in killing the followers of Jesus Christ, and he was there, and he was wreaking havoc on the church, the Bible says, but it was God's grace that brought him out. He says so in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I'm thinking about the grace of God. How is it that I could get sideways about somebody when they get my order wrong at the drive-thru? Or how is it that I could get upset when somebody doesn't have my reservation like they thought or they should have because you called ahead? How is it that my room at the hotel, it was supposed to be with two beds, not one bed. It was supposed to do this or was supposed to do this. How is it that we can get sideways about problems when they come in our lives when we look back at the most important thing and realize that I know Christ? You say, Pastor, that's too basic. That's exactly what I'm trying to get us to, the basics of it, and to see that the grace of God is bestowed upon our lives, and grace will do in our lives what nothing else will do. And I'm afraid that sometimes we as Christians, we are living just about the same as some of our unsaved neighbors are, because if life goes good for them, they have a smile. If life goes bad for them, the frown comes. My friend, we're supposed to be wired differently than that, because we're in Christ, we are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I'm not supposed to get happy about the same things that I used to get happy about. I'm supposed to be happy and be joyful about the things that God has done in my heart. I think about the grace of God being bestowed in the life of these people in Macedonia. And the Paul says it was a real aspect of their living and of their thinking of and their behavior. John Rice, who started the Sword of the Lord in 1934, somebody had held a gun to him and was going to kill him. And he said in the brave moment, I mentioned it here some services ago, he mentioned in a brave moment, he said, you can't scare me with heaven. Now, if I'd have been there, I said, you can't scare me with heaven, you can scare me with that gun, that's for sure. That does scare me. Heaven doesn't, but that gun does. But he was saved. The grace of God had been bestowed on his life. And so I'm saying this evening that you, if you know Christ as your Savior, you ought to cheer up in a basic way to put it. The Bible is your book, that you've got this, that you can wake up tomorrow and you can spend a few moments with the Lord and you can look at the Psalms and you can see, as I did this morning at the Psalm 91 verse 1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty." You can take this book that God has left you and you can get comfort and you can get peace and you can get encouragement. It's the grace of God that's bestowed upon you. Heaven's your home, and the Bible is our book, and Jesus is my Savior. You can do whatever you want to me, but I realize that heaven is my home because of what Christ has done for me. I can be like they were in verse number 2. I can have joy in the midst of the abundance of trials. But I see not only was the grace of God bestowed, but I also see, look down in verse number 5, that they gave themselves to God in order to have the outlook that they did. Amen. Verse 5, "And this they did, not as we hoped," they did more than we hoped actually, "but first gave their own selves to the Lord." Now, there's a very needful thing for Christians to do. And we understand that when you come to Christ and you're lost and undone and you've sinned against a holy God, you need to come to Him in salvation. And that should be the prayer for every one of us if you have children or grandchildren who have yet to come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Say, "Lord, show them that they need to be saved," and when the earliest time. But there's that happens to you, that you get saved. But there's also, it's not a step in your Christian life. It's not a step, certainly, of your salvation. But it is something that all of us ought to do as believers. And we ought to do it again and again. And that is give ourselves to the Lord. That's what the scripture says about these people in verse number 5. It says they gave their own selves to the Lord. I'm thinking about this in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. God used Paul to say, "I'm crucified with Christ." I always chuckle when I think about this story. Bobby Robertson, who pastored in Winston-Salem, he was such a godly man. He had had an evangelist, Lester Roloff, come in for a meeting. And he had said something. He thought this evangelist was offended at what the pastor had said. He didn't mean for it to be unkind, but he thought that maybe the evangelist took it wrong. But the evangelist did not take it wrong. He was just in thought about something. And he apologized to the evangelist. The pastor says to the evangelist, says, "I'm sorry if what I said back there, if that offended you." And it did not. He was just again in thought on something else. But he said something very interesting. He said, "Brother Bobby," which is what everybody called him, "if you offend me, then that's my fault." He says, "because I'm supposed to be dead with Christ." And he says, in his quirky little way, "you can't offend a dead man." And that's true. If we are really crucified with Christ, if my ambitions are crucified, if my pride is crucified, if my desires and all of that, if everything I've got is wrapped up in Christ and crucified with Him, then we are supposed to be dead in Christ. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You are supposed to give yourself to the Lord. And that's what these people do. Or that's what they did, rather. They gave their own selves to the Lord. You know, if I try to keep my hands on my life, I was listening to a sermon the other day, and the point was brought out that sometimes we predetermine how God is going to work a situation out. And if God has the audacity to step out of the realm that I think He's going to work it in, then I'm not very happy. Did you ever notice that God doesn't always check with you before He does things? And sometimes we're not even receptive to it if it's outside of the parameters. Vance Havner, a preacher of yesteryear, said, "It was a wonderful day when I realized that God used people with whom I didn't agree." Meaning that some people that don't always do it the same way you do it, God's going to use them in a way that maybe He didn't use you. And I'm just thinking about this when you have your hands on your life and you've got it predetermined of how God is going to do this and work this situation, then you are resistant to God doing anything else. But what I ought to, or the way I ought to live rather, is to take my hands off, because when my hands are on a situation and I'm kind of trying to dictate to God how He needs to work, then I'm disappointed whenever he doesn't do it like I thought he should. Have you ever disagreed with God before? Sure we have. You're not brave enough to say it, but we all have. But if you take your hands off and you say, Lord, I'm just yours. And we have to say, Lord, however you do it. Years ago, when my dad pastored that little church that he started and our home there, after it got out into a rented building, then another little rented building, somebody had the idea that was before the days of fancier copier machines like we have now. And somebody had given him an old mimeograph machine. It was the thing about this big of a box, and it had this ink that you somehow put on these transfers. And it didn't have a motor on it, except unless you call this a motor. So it had a little cranker on the side. And you'd get that master done, it'd be on that drum, and then you'd put the feed over here full of a ream of paper, and you'd crank that and crank that and crank it, and they'd do Sunday school brochure, whatever you wanted to do, little papers and whatnot. But the people that gave that to Dad said something about it one time, well, we weren't using as much as we thought, or this or that and the other, and the person said, Dave, that's not my call, I gave it to you. You use it however you want to, and that's the way you're truly giving something to somebody. When you say, my hands are off, it's your call. And then that's the way that we also ought to live. We ought to give ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, however you see fit to use me, however you see fit to work in my life is okay. There's a long list in the front of my Bible of those that are facing physical problems right now, many of them cancer, but other problems as well. And as I talk to many of our church members, they hear the same thought again and again, say, well, whatever the Lord's will is, they've taken their hands off of their life and say, Lord, it's your decision. It's your will that gets to be done. It's your will, whatever you allow to happen. And we see that these people gave themselves to God in verse number 5. But not only that, I want you to look back at verse number 3. Not only did they give themselves to God, but they also gave themselves to others. And I'd like to just park here for a little while and finish our message. For to their power, yea, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, okay? They were willing to give of themselves. We saw that in verse number 5. But they gave their own selves to the Lord. Now we're moving back down to verse number 5, and look at the last phrase of verse 5. They gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So whatever they were doing was the will of God. And what was the will of God in their life? That they give themselves not only to God, but now they're giving themselves to be used in the lives of other people. So the last thing I give you is this. They gave themselves to others. These people got busy. In this case, it was financially. They got busy helping other people. But there's a way that we can get busy helping other people, whether you have any money to help with or not. There's a way to be happy and to be joyful. Even when you don't have that new vehicle that you want for your family, one way is you can look at somebody else who doesn't have a family to put in the vehicle. We need to be helping others around us and be aware of their problems so that we can see what God has done in your life. And we need to be aware of what's happening in other people's lives, because we were not made by God to be all selfish and turned inward. We perform best and we have the joy of the Lord when we help people outside of us. Amen. The old saying goes, I complained about having no shoes until I saw a man that had no feet. And it is so true that these people gave themselves to others. And I'm watching people in this church, and I'm watching them when they forget about their problems and they help somebody else who has problems, their own self. I was Amy one time years ago. She was trying to help a family in West Virginia, and she was going to go get groceries out of our cabinets, because even though we didn't think we had a lot compared to what the family that we were trying to help with, we were loaded. And it's amazing when you start going through your stuff and you start saying, well, they could use that. They can eat this. They can eat that. You say, well, you should have bought them new stuff. And maybe we didn't have the new food. Maybe we didn't have it at the time. But she was going to go get canned foods and get things that would be a blessing to this family, because I realized before I thought we didn't have much. But then all of a sudden I realized we had a lot. You say, what made the difference? Well, what made the difference was when I got my eyes off what I had and I got my eyes on what other people didn't have. Amen. Our lives are better. Our lives are more joyful when we find ourselves in a place where we can give ourselves to others. Now, your mind naturally goes to giving money to others, and there's certainly plenty that you can do in that regard. But sometimes God might not have you positioned that you can be much of a blessing physically, but that doesn't mean you're off the hook. That doesn't mean you can't give to other people. You can give things that mean more than that. These people in verse number 5 says they gave themselves to us by the will of God. And what does a mother do? A mother hangs her problems at the door when she goes into the nursery and when she goes in to help somebody, help her little ones that they're having problems. And in the scheme of things, the problems of that little one is nothing compared to what the big problems of mom and dad. But mom puts those on the hanger for a little while and goes in and helps their little ones out of the issues that they are going through. And we see that happen again and again. And they have the joy of the Lord in their heart because they are helping other people. I don't understand the next verse I'm going to allude to. In Romans chapter 9, verse number 3, God used the Apostle Paul to say, "For I could wish that myself was accursed from Christ for my brethren." That's not new doctrine for anybody in here. He was saying that I could get out of my relationship with Christ if that would bring my brethren, my Jewish brethren, to faith. I don't know that I can say that. I admire it. I just don't know that I can get there. But he continued his ministry so that his brethren could be saved. His physical brethren could be his spiritual brethren, and the Jewish people could get the gospel. Through beatings and prison and bad health and difficulties, he kept on because he had given himself for others. But if I take that full circle, the Apostle Paul also wrote under the inspiration of God, he said, that I might finish my course with joy. So here's this guy that, as one old preacher put it, he said when Paul rode into town, he didn't check out the hotels. Instead, he'd usually check out what the jail situation was, because that's where he would end up before he left that town, most likely. He was beaten, and he was imprisoned, and he was mistreated, and he was maligned. And he did all of that, but Scripture said, or God used him to repent, that he might finish his course with joy. So joy cannot be so tied to our happenings. At least it wasn't to this poor group of people in the Macedonia church. They had abundant trials, but along with that abundant trial, they had abundant joy because they were helping other people out with what little bit they did have. My son Jared and I, we were sitting in the modest home in the John Bishop, our friend from down Arkansas, where we go every year for camp. Here's somebody who lives in constant pain, has had bouts with depression and fears and different difficulties in his physical life, and is also his mental life and spiritual life. But he has joy as he talks about all of the things that God has done in his life. But this is also the guy that's given away more than he's ever kept, I believe, trying to help people in their problems. He started a ministry years ago entitled God Is So Good. And he, when he had a health, he would travel around reminding people that even in his situation with meningitis that just totally crippled him mentally, and as God raised him up, he still proclaimed the message that God is so good. So tonight, there's not a person in this room that doesn't have plenty of reason to complain. You say, "Pastor, that's not what you just preached." I know, I'm getting there, but let me bring me with this part. So to somebody, you are having it very, very rough right now. I don't know who that somebody is, but to someone, you are having it rough. To somebody that's trying to figure out whether they winter in the house in the Caribbean or whether they winter in the house somewhere else, you may be having it rough. To the person who can't decide whether they only have 4 cars in their garage for one person or whether they're going to go ahead and get that 5th one, you're having it rough. To that person who is deciding whether they want granite or marble or somebody else, they're just deciding that and you've got to get formica, you're having it rough. So to many people, you are in a spot where you could complain about your situation. All you have to do is just look for those folks. Now, you wouldn't be biblical in that, but I'm saying that you could. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have some reason to complain. I told you the prayer list that I have in the front of my Bible has many, many folks of our church right here, and many of them are in this room, and they've got stuff going on in their body that they do not know whether that will be the thing that takes them to see Jesus. And those people have reason to complain. But we also have the path, scripturally, to get to a place where we have abundant joy in the trials that God has let us go in. Because you have to remember that everything that happens to you is, as the old preacher said, Father filtered, meaning that it came past the desk of God, if you want to put it that way. It wasn't that way, but it came across his desk and he had to okay it. Now, he doesn't put the bad things in your life. He's not tempted by any man, neither does he tempt anybody. So we're wrong when we say, well, this sinful thing came into my life. God just brought it here. No, he didn't. But he could have stopped some things if he'd wanted to. But then he also has in his will some difficulties, physical things that are his will that we go through. And the other things that we got messed up in our own self, he allowed some things to come into our way. And so although I told you that everybody in this room has reason enough to complain, you also have the path that you could have joy in those trials that could make you complain if you wanted to. Because we could sit down here after church and you rehearse all of your problems to me, or somebody else would say, oh my goodness. And we would in sincerity have compassion for you. But if you and I aren't careful and we allow that to be the steady diet of what we dwell on, and we forget that along with those problems, God has also given us his help. God has also given us his power. God has also given us his presence. If we've just got our steady diet of all the things that are going on wrong, then we'll be in depression. But if instead we realize, as it says in verse number 1, the grace of God has done a work in my heart. If we also realize, as it says in verse number 5, that I gave myself to God. And then in verse number 3 and 5, that I gave myself to be a blessing to other people. Then that's what I believe brought them to that point in verse number 2, where although the abundant trials were there, the joy was present as well. One last thought to cap the night off, and that is this: when we live in the way that I just described, we are following Christ's example. Look down at verse number 9, and then we'll be done. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So when we are a blessing to other people, even in our distresses, even when we have enough problems to complain about our own self, when we take on the burdens of somebody else and we try to help them through the difficulties that they're having, then we are showing the love of Christ in that situation because, as it says in that verse, though he were rich, he took on your poverty, that in our poverty we might know what it's like to be rich. And that's not talking about financially. So we can, from Scripture, have abundant joy in trials. But really, it is determined by what I'm focusing on. Am I seeing the grace of God at work in my life? Or am all I seeing this avalanche of troubles that is overcoming me? Am I seeing the power of God that it's getting me through day by day by day? Or am I just seeing the difficulties that keep coming at me? Sometimes we're looking so close at the problems, we're forgetting that God helped us through the problems yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before and every day before that. We're so focused on the problems right in front of us that we're forgetting that there were problems yesterday that we don't even think about now because God helped us. We're forgetting that the difficulties that happened last week, God got us through them. And when instead we should be looking back at the successes that God has had in my life, and I should let that drive me to a place where I realize that if he wants me to get through this problem, then I will as well. But oftentimes we get so consumed with the problems that are right there in front of me, I forget to look to the Lord. I get too busy looking out instead of looking up. But I don't look to the Lord. And then as you look to the Lord, I can tell you this from the scripture here, but also from personal experience. When I get my eyes on the needs of other people, and I look at how you could be a blessing to people around you, somehow you'll forget for just a little while, and you'll be able to get through the problems that are surrounding you. Abundant joy in trials. Father, help us, I pray. I ask you, dear Lord, to help this group of people right here, that we might be some selfless individuals. Lord, we would think about the people that we can help instead of the problems that we're focused on in our own life. Lord, I pray that you would help us be those ones that look for other people that we can help. Lord, we can help many people without even leaving our home. Our prayer list is long with those that are facing cancer even right now. Alan Barker and Barney Bear and Leslie Farmer and Steve McMurray, Lynn Anderson and James McHugh and Edith Rourke and Tracy Kirk and Linda Stover and David Harrison, David Eller, David Pruitt, Leroy Shepherd, Brother Phil Talbert. Lord, there's list after list. There's our shut-in list. That, Lord, we could just love on those folks for a little while and send them some notes and call them. Just let them know that somebody cares about them. And I know that every time that you allow me to do it, dear Lord, it makes my problems kind of take a little break. Lord, help us to learn the sacrificial life that we could live and help other people. I pray that you would make it true in our lives in Jesus' name. If you're able to, I'd ask you to stand together as our ladies play something through. And if God has spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe we're all too selfish. Maybe we're all too self-absorbed. Maybe we should all live our life more for others. How about it, my friend? Have you been so concerned about your problems and your difficulties that you're forgetting that there's a world out there that needs you to touch their life? As they continue to play, would you come and join these at the altar? If the Lord has burdened you about something, you're welcome to come and pray. Maybe you're making an altar out of your seat right there where you stand, just going to the Lord. I challenge you to do it. But maybe you're here tonight, not sure that you're on your way to heaven. I didn't preach about that, but can I tell you, my friend, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? Why did he have to die? Because you and I, we sinned against the holy God. Our sins weren't going to get taken care of by anything that we could do. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. And my friend, without his forgiveness, his salvation, then you'd be forever lost. But with him, you go to heaven, be forever with him. Would you come if you need to be saved tonight? Maybe there's some other need you have. Maybe you need to be baptized. You've been saved. You're not baptized. You need to join Buffalo Ridge. You need some other prayer help. Then this next verse is for you. Would you come? Thank you. Well, thank you so much. You may look this way. I was thinking about this, but when I first thought about it, the sun was still out a little bit, but I was thinking about how beautiful this auditorium is. Would you look around at this? Isn't it a wonderful place? I mean, we could just be in we could be out in the brush, I guess. They used to have brush arbor meetings where they just kind of pile some brush up around, and then cows would be outside and some all of the not so nice surrounding. But I just think about how blessed we are just to get to come together as a family of God, and thank you for, I just thank God for what He's done. Well, it's a blessing to be in church. If you're a Sunday school teacher working in one of our children's ministries or adult ministries, then Brother Kyle and Brother Daniel will have a meeting with you over in the chapel just down the hall, and help us with this new app and the software that we're rolling out. It's going to be a great tool. Now, don't get discouraged because I don't know how to do this. It'll take us just like anything new. It takes us a little while as we're getting it implemented, but it's going to be a great tool that God is going to, I think, allow us to use to keep up with people better and connect better and get some folks in different areas of service. So I challenge you to be down at that meeting, and I know there'll be a blessing to you. Well, don't forget, Tuesday, 11:30, if you're 55 plus, then you're welcome to join us. We'll have a good time, and we won't even card you. So if you want to come in, and Nathan and Troy, they'll look the other way as you come in the door. So we'll have a good time together. So thank you so much for being in church tonight. I hope that one of these days we'll all join together for the last time. I don't know this one's it. As far as I'll plan on being here Wednesday. But one of these days will be the last time. And I just want to thank God while we have our breath for what He's done for us. Amen. Isn't that amazing? I thank Him for our great missions month that we had. I thank Him for you saw the number in there. I thank Him for what we're going to be able to do in missions this year. But I thank Him for the camaraderie I've had. I got to talk to so many people today. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful touch of the Lord. And I'm, for one, grateful for it. So thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. Pray one for another. You're dismissed.